Right now, I'm happy to welcome Violent J and Shaggy 2 Dope, Insane Clown Posse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right here to Studio Q. First things first, welcome back to Canada.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
I said in the intro, it's been 10 years, but it might have been longer. Is that right, Shaggy?
Like, yeah, like 16 years, I think. Yeah.
Why so long, Shaggy?
Because Canada didn't want me in Canada, I guess. Yeah, more so me. Yeah. No, me.
So it took a while to clear up the record?
Yeah, clear up the record, get off probation and whatnot, you know, which is crazy because, like, we've been to, like, Europe and Australia and all that since, but just Canada's just that tough nut to crack as far as the government.
We grew up with that here. Like, you know, you buy a ticket for a show and you're not sure if the artist is going to make it across the border. Our borders are pretty notoriously tough.
A lot of our crew didn't make it.
Yeah. Wow. We're on a skeleton crew right now because a lot of people got turned down at the border.
Well,
yeah.
Another thing I wanted to ask about if it made it is the American soda called Faygo. Because I understand you guys, obviously your shows, you spray huge amounts.
That's right.
Of Faygo. And in Australia, in Europe, you've had some problems at the border.
Yeah. Well, we couldn't bring, you know, we usually go through about maybe close to 350 2 liters of Faygo soda per show. That's just a general
350 2 liter bottles.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. That depends on the size of the stage and how often we reach for them and this and that. But going to another country, you can't bring all that Faygo soda. They think you're gonna sell it or whatever, you know. So we've had to use other stuff and put like a sticker on it that says Faygo, you know what I mean? And it's just for the fun, you know, it's not the original juice, but it's cool. But here, they actually do sell Faygo.
Oh, okay.
They sell it in Windsor.
It's distributed over here, so we're able to get it, yeah.
Okay. So we are able to purchase it here. And so we have the actual authentic Faygo juice with us.
We'll be here on the Canadian tour.
That's right. All of it. Yes. The entire tour. We won't have to substitute what I call the precious liquid.
Part of me wishes, though, I could see those border conversations about the Faygo. Have you ever been there, like in Australia, for that conversation with the border official, like wondering what is going on with this volume of
safely not?
Yeah, we don't have to deal with that, thank God. We got enough we got to deal with customs.
Exactly.
You know, without worrying about that.
There's so much to talk about with you guys. You guys go back to the late 80s musically. You've built something basically unprecedented. In terms of your fan base and your support and the way you've built your careers. But first, I want to touch on how you started. So, Jay, if you can paint a picture for us of what your lives were like when you first started getting into making music. Let's start there.
We wanted to be wrestlers, you know. We grew up in, just outside of Detroit in a suburb called Ferndale, which is right along 8 Mile Road. We actually grew up probably three or four miles from where Eminem grew up, you know, same exact street, same exact area. We wanted to be wrestlers, you know, and that was our goal. So we had backyard rings built and everything, and we were little kids pursuing that goal. But the more we started to love rap and hip-hop, you know, the more we fell in love with Sir Mix-a-Lot, and I'm talking pre-Baby Got Back. I'm talking about the Swass album with Posse Got Broadway and all that good stuff.
We're talking the 80s.
Yeah. And all the other hip-hop that my partner here and his older brother John were introducing to me, and just we're falling in love with hip-hop. So there came a time where we were like, we want to rap, but we want to wrestle, but we want to rap. But the day we decided that we were going to go for it and rap, and that was our new goal, the day we made that decision, we've never looked back.
Do you remember that day?
Yeah, oh yeah. Like it was yesterday. Like the day we said, we're going for it, we're going to do this, and failure is not an option, you know? It's like, to cut it simple and dry, there's two ways up the mountain, okay? You can come along and get discovered, you know, a bigger name rapper can come along and bring you on tour and put you on their label and make you famous. A record company can discover you. There's a lot of ways to be successful.
A&R can find you, whatever. You know?
A lot of ways. Or the guaranteed way is to walk up that mountain and start from the bottom and do it yourself. That's right. Press up 500 CDs, sell those, take the money, press up 1,000 CDs, just like it sounds.
And that's how you guys did it, one step at a time up the mountain. I want to go to that day. What do you remember that day of that decision? Like, what prompted that very clear decision of it's going to be music, and there's no way we're going to fail. Do you remember that?
Yeah, we were doing on karaoke machines and sticking your face in between two boom boxes, you know, play and record on one. And then we just said, you know, we got serious about it. And Jay's older brother knew this dude named Alex who owned a record store. And then one day we were just like, yo, let's have a meeting with Alex. He lived in his mom's basement, you know.
Because we were
pushing our little basement CD, our cassettes at the time.
We were making cassettes ourselves.
Just with dubbing them.
Photo cover Kinko's. Remember Kinko's?
Yeah, yeah.
We had a Kinko's cover copy, and we were just running, you know, blank tapes, Maxell tapes, and we were selling them out of this guy, Alex, out of his record store. So we had a meeting with Alex. And because he had sold something like 19 copies.
We're like, oh, that's it.
And so we had a meeting with Alex, and we were like, you know, you got some money. You could put us in a real studio. You know, you want to work out some deal and have you manage us, you know? We had a big meeting in the basement.
Why did you decide to take it so serious that day? What was it? What changed?
The love.
No doubt. I mean, we were just ready to do it. We just were like... We knew we weren't going to wrestle no more, you know what I'm saying? We were all pretty much dropped out of high school by that time. You know, it was just time to get
real,
serious,
you know?
About something, you know? And that was just our calling, you know? And we were just like, it's time to do this for real.
We wanted to be wrestlers, and we actually accomplished that. Like, we started wrestling around the Midwest, and we were actually independent wrestlers, you know? And it was just 20 guys in a locker room, you know, all... fighting for their time out in the ring. You know, everybody gets like 10 minutes in the ring, and you want to get all your stuff in, and the other guys get their stuff in and everything and their moves. Everybody wants to do their moves, and all for 10 minutes, and you're sharing the stage with 20 guys, and the money goes to 20 guys, and it's just...
Hustle is not working.
It was much funner being a fan of wrestling. Then once we got to the other side of it, we didn't like it. You know, the politics of it, and it just wasn't fun. But at the same time, we're developing this huge, you know, NWA came out, Eazy-E, Ice Cube, you know, this is blowing our minds. This is like what we want to do. And we're rapping away on these karaoke machines, and we're getting tighter and tighter. And it's just like our passion just switched.
And it became music, full focus.
Yeah, we said, you know what? I want to do this for a living. And we knew there was thousands of rappers. Everybody wants
to be a
rapper.
Just in Detroit, right.
Just in Detroit, there was a million rappers. But we were like, once we had that meeting with Alex and he decided that he would invest in us, the $4,000 he had saved up for studio and to press up our first release, once he decided that, you know, we just said, this is it.
And it was
This is it. There is no failure. It's not even an option. Like, you could do this. The failure wasn't an option.
And the thing was, we didn't even know about that hip-hop shop freestyling world that was going on in Detroit at the time, because it was so small. What most people were doing was pressing up their own records, you know, pressing up their own cassettes and selling them, you know. And that's the route we took, because we didn't know the other route, and we ain't freestylers. You know, at least I ain't no freestyler, you know.
That's exactly right. There was two scenes in Detroit.
And we didn't know nothing. We never even heard of the other scene, because we were just buying cassettes of people
buying
that were putting out independently in Detroit. Okay. So that's the only route that we knew. We didn't know there was another, like, a hip-hop shop where people are sitting around freestyling. We didn't even know that existed, you know?
So you guys went about it the one way that you knew, which was making your music, recording it, selling it hand-to-hand.
Straight up. Being your own record label.
And that's how you started your long climb up the mountain, and you reached incredible heights. Now, that climb obviously doesn't happen overnight.
No,
I sure don't.
You've arrived at this place where you're at right now, where you have this totally unique community of fans around what you do. For people who don't understand or don't know about Juggalos, how would you explain how they relate to your music and how they relate to each other? Like, what is a Juggalo?
First of all, they're definitely, the bond is way beyond what you consider a fan. It's a family. It really is. There are elements in our music, lyrics, certain things, certain lines that we might say that describe the type of person we truly are. There's a lot of entertainment in our music, of course. Murder, death, axe murder clowns, a lot of entertainment. But there's certain lines and certain things we say that are very real, you know. And certain people pick up on those lines. Other people don't, you know. Other people hate us. They hate us. They could listen to our entire catalog and hate our guts. But there are other people, it just seems like they were meant to hear it because they pick up on certain things we say and they relate to that, you know? Hmm. And they're like, that's just like me and my crew. That's just like us. You know, there's certain things we say. And we started meeting people that were just like us. And it was so easy to entertain them because we just look at each other and say, you know what would be cool is if we did this. So we started doing that. And we just started doing the things we thought would be cool. Mm-hmm. And those people that were picking up our vibe, who for whatever reason, were just like us, so they also thought it was cool. And it just started getting bigger and bigger and closer. Like, it wasn't just about the music. We wanted to get together for any reason. You know, these people, like,
yeah.
And here's the best way I can explain it as quickly as I can. A lot of people feel like they're alone. They're the only one that thinks like they do or feels the way they do. But then when they heard this music, they realized, man, these guys making this music, they're just like me. They find the same things funny I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not alone. I hear these guys. I relate to these guys. So when they go to our concert or something we're doing, they're now meeting all kinds of people
right,
like
the
them.
Same people that think
that
of like
also
that,
thought that
like,
they were alone.
That's right.
Is that what you say, Shag? That explains why this connection is so strong. It's as Jay said, more than just
man.
Fandom.
Yeah, it's 100% because I mean, bottom line is it's like so many people, musicians and whatnot, and bands. You know, they say, you know, it's because of our fans. Well, where we're at, and we love our fans. You know, then they take off in their limo to their private hotel or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But like with us, it's like we are the same people that buy our records, that enjoy our music. We come from the same background. We are those same, and we still are. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's crazy the connection we got with Juggalos because we are Juggalos ourselves. You know, and the stuff we go through and in our lives is very similar to the same things that Juggalos go through in their lives and whatnot, you know, that we've been through and we still go through.
I could break it down probably 20 seconds. When we were kids, we were picked on in school. A lot of people were, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we were picked on in school all the time right up until we dropped out, you know what I mean? And here as successful musicians— nothing's changed. We're still picked on. We're still made fun of. We've sold millions and millions of albums. Millions. We've got, I think, 5 gold records and 2 double platinum albums, right? And I picked up an encyclopedia of rock in the States about 4 inches thick. It covered everybody who's everybody in alphabetical order. And are we in there? Hell no. We don't count.
One-hit wonders you never heard of are in there, you know?
People that have sold a tenth of the records we've sold are in there. But we're not in there because when it comes to ICP, it doesn't count. It's not real.
Why doesn't it count?
We're too cartoon to be taken serious in rap. And we're too rock and wild to be taken serious in rap. And then in rock, we're too hip-hop to be taken serious in rock. You know what I mean? Because we don't have a live band.
And the big thing is a lot of people are just like, most people are like, yeah, they sell millions of records, but they sell them to Juggalos. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like Juggalos ain't real people or something.
Like they're less than.
Exactly. Yeah.
We've read reviews of our concerts where they talk about how horrible they are. And in the same review, they talk about how all the Juggalos were singing every lyric and having a blast. But it was the worst show the guy ever saw. And I'm thinking, how does that make sense? That's like having me review a country western concert.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like country. I'm going to tell you it sucks. Despite the fact 20,000 people in the arena love it and are having a blast.
This must be such a fascinating experience for you guys to be at the center of that. At the center of all this love from your fans and all of this hate from people who don't understand it.
But it's awesome. That's what makes us who we are. That's what makes it. The colder it is on the outside, the warmer it is on the inside. Like when we do get together at our concert, and we're all together in some small packed club, that's ecstasy to us. That's, we're together. All these people, they don't know each other, but they're like brothers and sisters. There's no fights at our shows.
Yeah.
There's no fights at our festival. It's so much love. People, like, that's 50% of the magic is them, the Juggalos. That's what makes us special.
Well, tell me what that's like. I'll start with you, Shaggy. What is that like? I mean, I've read about you guys hearing constantly from fans that your music has saved their life, that these gatherings are what they, these shows are what they look forward to all year.
Yeah.
I mean, what's it like getting that kind of feedback?
It's crazy, man. You know what I'm saying? We're humble dudes. You know, we live a normal life at the same time as doing what we do for a living. You know what I'm saying? So, like, for somebody to come up with you covered in tattoos or all your record covers and telling you that your music saved their life, it grounds you. You know what I'm saying? It's like, wow, I did that. You know what I'm saying? And it's you know, like I said, we're the same dudes as when we started. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, to hear that, it's like, how do you respond to that? You know what I'm saying? It's like, some dude walks up, his whole body's covered in ICP tattoos. It's like, how do you thank somebody for that? You know, it gets hard sometimes, but like, it's still at the same time, it's like, you're so thankful that these people are out there feeling you so hard, you know, that it's a crazy experience, you know, and sometimes it'll drive you a little bit crazy. You know what I'm saying?
How so?
We're both on like medication for like mental stuff, you know what I'm saying? Because like, it tears you in so many different ways, you know, and it's like, you're sitting at
it's
home.
So much.
We're just sitting at home just watching a movie or something, just still realizing that's all on your shoulders, you know what I'm saying? It drives you a little bit mad.
The fact that these people depend on you that much, is that what the
Not
pressure?
Not depend, or? But credit. Yeah. Credit us, you know, and in reality, you know, we believe in a higher power, you know, very much. And I believe that I don't know why, but I believe we've been extremely, unbelievably blessed and fortunate. You know what I mean? And I'm not speaking of any specific religion or anything like that. I just think that there's something out there that has blessed us. And that magic is what these people are feeling, the Juggalos are feeling. It goes through the music. A lot of times we write a song, we don't even remember writing it. Like, going back and recording it is like reading it for the first time. It's like, you know.
Well, you know, it's fascinating to me in terms of the magic that you've just been talking about. Like, something you said earlier about how Juggalos hear things in your music that other people don't hear. They'll pick up on lyrics that other people don't hear.
Right.
Why do you think some people don't hear those things? And
because
others,
they're focused in on the other stuff, the entertainment. You know, that's what they're hearing, you know.
Which we put plenty of in there. You know, we round our stuff out, you know. It's, if you want to hear it in there, it's in there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but
there's
if you
a
just
lot
want
of
to be
songs
entertained,
where
that's super in there, you know.
That's part of your mandate. You guys believe in entertaining.
No
right?
doubt.
Oh, yeah. We're not apologetic about anything we've ever said. We've said a lot, you know. There's a lot of records where there is, I mean, a lot of songs where there is no underlying message, you know. It's just pure entertainment, fun, you know. But Juggalos laugh at the same type of humor that we do, you know, and they feel the same way. For example, if we talk about killing a guy that beats his wife or a guy that's abusive towards his kids, you know what I mean? We'll phrase it in a way that you know the guy we're killing is that guy, an abusive guy or somebody like, or a pedophile or something like that. You know, those are the people we're mostly murdering, you know, if we're committing murder in a song. It's hard to explain it because it really is a damn circus. But yeah, they pick up on what we're saying and they feel the same way. It's very much who we are magnified and made into entertainment. It's just like wrestling, like you said at the beginning. It's like The Rock. I don't know if anybody out there is a wrestling fan, but when he first came into the WWE, he was Rocky Maivia, and he was playing some character, and it wasn't really working until he started being himself and amplified it and turned it way up. He became The Rock. If you smell what The Rock is cooking, you know. Well, ICP is very much who we are, magnified and turned all the way up. We really do feel real about the things we're saying. We really do hate the people we're talking about we hate. But it's a comic book.
Yeah.
It's a cartoon.
And your fans, more than fans, they understand that intuitively because they're just like you guys.
It's a release.
Yeah. No, I mean, we'd be in prison forever if we did anything on one of our records, you know?
It's a release. It's like therapy to them because they hear us rapping about the same kind of stuff they've been going through their whole life, and they know they're not alone. They know we're mad about the same stuff.
Right. It's like everybody says, keep it real, keep it real. We keep it real entertaining. You know, we take it all the way out to where, like, you know what I'm saying, nobody's taking it.
We all have to live in a real world. Why does the music have to always keep it real, too?
Mm-hmm.
Our music takes you away.
In case folks are just tuning in, my name is Shad. You're listening to Q, and my guests here in Studio Q are Shaggy 2 Dope and Violent J of Insane Clown Posse. Okay, on that note of, you know, a lot of your fans coming from backgrounds like yours, not growing up with too much, having seen and experienced some hard things, what are they telling you right now about their life and their world? And I ask because there's a lot of conversations now about what's going on in America. A lot of conversations about people, a huge and growing number of people feeling on the outside. What are your fans telling you these days? Is it different or is it the same as it's always been in terms of their life and the struggles they go through? I'll start with you, Shaggy.
I mean, it stays pretty consistent. You know what I'm saying? It's people that have been through hardship their whole life. Not everybody, you know what I'm saying? A lot, there's people that are doctors, lawyers, whatever, respectable positions that are still juggalos to this day, you know? But, you know, that have came from bad backgrounds but made some out of themselves. You know, a juggalo isn't a specific person 100%. You know, you can't really put your finger exactly what that is, you know what I'm saying? Because there's so many different backgrounds of people that are juggalos and whatnot, you know. But you know, it's pretty consistent, you know, because it's the same grind as it always has been. You know, it's like, it seems like people that aren't from America see the politics a lot more than we do in America, you know what I'm saying? Because we don't get into politics. I don't know nothing about it, you know? I didn't interview people asking me about Donald Trump. I was like, I don't care, you know what I'm saying? I don't vote anyhow, so what do I care, you know? My taxes are going to be the same. Everything's going to be the same, so it's like, who cares, you know what I'm saying? And that's pretty much for everybody. People just like to cry. But the thing is, it's the same struggle for everybody, you know what I'm saying? Everybody that's the same way that we came up and whatnot, where we've been and whatever, it's always been the same struggle and always
that
will be.
Hasn't really changed.
No.
What about what you've heard, Jay, from fans? Has their experiences changed since you started building this following?
Yeah, it changes all the time with the album that's out, whatever album we just released. See, I'll tell you, Shad, we call it the Dark Carnival. That's what the name we've given the magic. Okay, I look you in the eye and give you my word as a man, okay? This isn't a gimmick. This isn't anything like this. We write music. I've written so many songs that I have no idea in my life where they came from or how the hell. I even use words I don't even know. I don't even use in real life. In songs, it's almost like stepping out of my body in creating a song. And then when it's done, I go back and read it. It's like reading it for the first time. That magic, okay? And the magic that the juggalos hear from those words and relate to, and the magic, the camaraderie between each other of the juggalos. You know, they come early, they get in line, and they chant, and they sing, and they hang out. Juggalos have their own mini gatherings where we're not even there. They gather themselves and barbecue, like 100 or 200 of them in a park, you know, just to be together. All of that magic we call the Dark Carnival, okay? Whatever the higher power is that's blessed us, we call all of it the Dark Carnival. And so when people come up and say, you've saved my life, I was addicted to this and such song or such and such album helped me get through it, and I want to thank you. To us, we can't accept that credit.
Huh.
You know, we didn't save your life, man. The Dark Carnival, the same thing that is blessing us, we're sitting here right now talking to you. That's because We're blessed.
I'm going to ask you more about the Dark Carnival in a minute, because I actually want you to outline that concept a little bit more for our listeners. But first, I want to ask you, you guys have embraced kind of your place as outsiders, and you speak, you connect with the outsiders. But was there ever a time where you wanted more mainstream acceptance, where you wanted to be in that volume of rock and roll history?
I could tell you two cool stories. Mm-hmm. One time, we were touring with Bone Thugs and Harmony, who of course have Grammys, American Music Awards, you know, everything. They at one point they held what we call the Matrix. That's when you're on top of the world, you know. Bone was there. So one night we went out after a concert with Bone, and they were being paid to show up at a club, right? And just to show up and drink, you know, so the club could say, we got Bone Thugs and Harmony in the house club. Tonight, yeah, you know. Yeah. We went with them, and seeing that life, you know, it was cool to see. It was fun to see, but it's not for us. You know what I'm saying? Like, it would be cool to be paid to go to a club and have, you know, but it's just not. It's not you guys. Not us.
Shaggy, what about you? Because you guys have done some work with major labels. You've been in that world before. Like, was there a time where you said, man, I want to, you know, reach that place. I want to be...
I mean, I would say, like, when we first started our career, of course, everybody wants to reach that place. But once we got into a position to reach that place, we burnt all of our bridges with the quickness. You know what I'm saying? With, like, MTV and everybody. You know, they vowed they'd never work with us again. And we're fine with that. We've always been fine with that, you know? Because just the way we came up doing it on our own, we knew we could do it like that our whole career, you know? And at the beginning of our career, we thought you needed the help of major record labels, you know? So even though we were on a few major record labels in our career, we still had Psychopathic, which we still put out independent.
Psychopathic Records, yeah.
Yes, that we still put out independent stuff on and whatnot, you know what I'm saying? All our old catalog and everything, you know? So, like, I would say, like, yeah, I mean, that's everybody's dream at the beginning, but once we saw what it was about, you know what I'm saying, that's when we were like, we don't need this, you know?
Yeah, it's started out independent, mm-hmm. putting out albums, until we got so successful that a major came and signed us, and then that turned into a nightmare. You know, it was good for our career eventually, but dealing with other people in our ideas, sharing ideas with strangers.
Nobody knows how to put us out and market us besides us. You know what right. I'm saying? No A&R knows how to do it. No record label head knows how to do it. They've tried and they failed miserably without us in the mix doing it. And
so you came back to doing it on your own.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the other story I was going to tell you was one time we went to the Billboard Music Awards. We've never done anything like
that. We got invited out the blue. We were like, what?
But we were like, why not? We're always on the Billboard charts. Let's go to the Billboard Music Awards. And we walked the red carpet. When we got out of that limousine, you know, all the fans that gathered to watch the people watch the red carpet. When we got out of that limousine, we got booed.
Round of boos. And we were loving it. We were like, yeah.
You guys embrace that.
Yeah.
You embrace that title.
What are you going to do? Go hide in your shell? You know what I'm saying? We're like, yeah, bring it, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
I consider us like punk rap, like the Sex Pistols of rap or the Misfits of rap. You know, like, I like being the bad guy to the mainstream world.
Again,
you know what I mean?
Again, back to the wrestling world. You know, you guys are playing that character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes when we do an interview, we cut a promo. You know what I mean?
Start, like, getting hyped, forget about it, you know?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like wrestlers, you know? It's just...
Does anything... I mean, you guys embrace that. You embrace being the outsider. You embrace that the booze, you know? But is there anything that hurts you guys that you hear in the press?
Yeah. You know, people say any press is good press, even the negative press. It's not true. Let an article come out and call you a racist. You know what I mean?
Right.
Let somebody come out and call you something like that. And, you know, all press is not good press, you know, when they totally straight up
make things up.
Yeah, like, huh? Okay, for example, one guy came to the gathering and he wrote, there was a stabbing at the gathering, so I left. There was a stabbing on the first day, so I knew it was time for me to leave. That was his report, okay? First of all, the stabbing was between two hot dog vendors. Okay.
Like battling over business or something.
Had nothing to do with juggalos. Juggalos don't stab each other. You know what I mean? Like that kind of press. Hmm. You know what I mean? Saying the FBI saying juggalos are a gang, all the press that comes with that, That takes our entire legacy, everything we've done, everything we've done in our career for the last 26 years, and it just takes a dump on all of it.
Well, let's talk about that, because that's beyond criticism from the press. I mean, as you said, the FBI, 2011, they classified your entire fan base, the Juggalos, as a loosely organized hybrid gang.
And that's affecting lives. And, you know, that's not affecting our career and all like that. That's affecting people's personal lives.
Yeah, tell me how that's affected your fan base, that FBI classification.
Come on, man. You got like a 13-year-old kid that lives out in the sticks rocking a Hatchet Man shirt. You know what I'm saying? A rocking ICP shirt. And suddenly he's in a gang. You know what I'm saying? Living in the cornfields in Idaho or whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's like they're in the Bloods or Crips or MS-13 or something like that. That's insane to even think like that. You know, you got people getting kicked out the army. You got everyday upstanding citizens because they got a little Hatchet Man tattoo on their shoulder, all of a sudden now in a gang file.
And so the gang database, you know, and when you get sentenced, let's say you get caught with a little marijuana or something, whatever the crime is, when you get sentenced fine. But if you're in a gang file, that sentence is harsher.
No question.
You know what I'm saying? And we're talking about a guy who maybe is 32, works at a factory, raising his family, gets pulled over for a broken taillight. He's got a Hatchet Man on his arm tattooed from when he used to love ICP even. Now he's in the gang file. Now, if he gets in trouble, it's like being on probation. You know what I mean? Hmm. You get a harsher sentence.
You get locked up. You're thrown in the gang pods. You know what I'm saying? It's
and
crazy.
Our business, Psychopathic Records, our independent business, there's guys that when we started out, they were our homies sticking by us. Well, guess what? 26 years later, it's their career. They have families, wives. Our guys that work with us, they make a living off Psychopathic, Dark Carnivals, you know, and all of a sudden chains like Hot Topics and stuff like that, they don't carry ICP swag anymore because it's gang memorabilia whatever.
Gang apparel. Yeah.
So now all these stores don't carry our stuff because it's all gang apparel now. And it takes something we did, which was incredible, which is Juggalos are more active and more, you know, all around alive than any hippies or deadheads or any Kiss Army or any kind of, you know, quote unquote fan base you want to call it. Juggalos are family and they're more beautiful and open-minded and awesome than anything in history of rock and roll. And then you just take it all and call it a gang.
What have you heard, Shaggy, what stories have you heard from fans about how this has affected them?
People losing their kids, man. People getting, like I said, getting kicked out the army. You know what I'm saying? People going to jail for unnecessarily amount of times. You know, just like I said, people losing their kids.
In a custody battle?
Custody battle because they got a fucking, my bad, because they got a tattoo. You know what I'm saying? And it's crazy. You know what I'm saying? Just the whole idea of it. Is pure insanity, you know, it's for them to, like, even think of, like, throwing that. I mean, because, of course, in any group of people, you're going to have a couple bad apples. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there are Juggalos that are in gangs, you know. Mm-hmm. There's people that listen to Willie Nelson that are in gangs. You know what I'm saying? There's people, I'm sure Jack the Ripper probably bumped Mozart back in the 1800s whenever he was around. You know what I'm saying? Does that make everybody listen to Mozart a murderer, a serial
We've
killer?
We've sold millions Ripper? Of records. Of course, out of those millions of people, there's going to be some bad apples, you know. Kenny Rogers has fans that probably, you know, could be child molesters or something. You know, does that make Kenny Rogers a gang leader?
And you guys have filed a lawsuit against the FBI in response.
Yeah, no question. We sunk a lot of money into it, man.
Where's that at, Shaggy?
They threw it out of court, so we appealed it, and now it's back in the court.
We won the second round.
Yeah. So
the Michigan ACLU has our back. I mean, actually stepped up. And have our back and are taking the case over for us and are fighting it for us, you know? And we, you know, I wish I could tell you everything right now, but in just a month or so, we have our festival and we have a huge announcement to make, you know, but I can't reveal it. But
good,
I'm saying
good.
Things are very active and things are very, you know, like when it first happened in 2011, we thought it was funny. We're like, oh, we're a gang? That's cool. We're a gang then. But then once everything started happening,
repercussions started.
The fallout, it continues
affecting
to this
people's
day.
Lives, affecting your business, affecting a lot
everything.
Of things.
Most of all, I mean, affecting our business, yeah, in a major way, but I don't like to cry about that because we've been so fortunate. Mm-hmm. I'm more upset about affecting the people that want to represent us, want to wear one of our shirts or have one of our tattoos, all of a sudden being called gang members.
Well, let's talk about what they're representing. We talked a little bit about the dark carnival.
Right.
So you have this discography. It's built on this dark carnival mythology.
Right.
That came from your imagination. You guys have brought it to life with each album representing a different character, different piece.
Allegedly came from our imagination.
Allegedly.
Yeah, I think it came from somewhere much more...
Okay, well, tell me two things. Tell me where this concept came from, because this is fascinating. Your entire catalog is moving through this mythology. So tell me where this idea came from, this concept came from, and quickly outline the concept as well for us.
The concept is, when we started, we said we're going to release, right from day one when we came out, we said we're going to release 6 Joker cards. And a Joker card is an album. It's a black cover with a clown face on it. That's on the cover of the album. Remember when CDs used to come out? So each Joker card was more or less, it had writing inside that explained it. And if you listen to the album and you pick up on the messages, each Joker's card was more or less another way for you to look at yourself. Okay, let me just give you an example.
Yes.
The third Joker's card is the riddle box. Okay, if you were to pass away, if something horrible were to happen and you or somebody were to pass away and you had to turn your crank today, right now, turn the crank, you know, what's going to pop out? Is it going to be an angel or is it going to be a demon? You know, where's your soul headed if God forbid, somebody were to pass away? Where is your soul headed if you had to turn your own crank right now? Ask yourself. If you turn the crank,
you know
how you live your life.
Box.
And so each album is a Joker's card like that.
That asks you that question, sort of question in a different way. In a different way. The second Joker's card, the Ringmaster, the more evil deeds you've done in your life adds pounds in weight to the size of the Ringmaster. The good deeds you've done in your life takes size away from the Ringmaster. If you were to pass right now and you had to fight your own Ringmaster, could you whip its ass or would it stomp you to death?
See, to me, this is wildly imaginative. It's very creative. Tell me where this concept came
from.
The
Holy Creator. All right. I don't want to say God because I guess God means one certain religion. It could be Allah, Buddha, Ra. I don't know.
But you had a dream. Is that right? Is that right?
It is.
And
right.
I relate because I make music myself. I've had, you know, just ideas, images, stories occur to me that are powerful and they're metaphorical.
Yeah.
So tell me about this experience of where this idea came from for you.
Well, when we were starting out, we were trying to be a street gang. There was a lot of gangs in our neighborhood, and we wanted to be one. So ICP was Inner City Posse. But we weren't much of a gang because, like I said, we were kind of scrubs, you know what I mean? We picked on, messed with a lot. But we tried. We put our paint up everywhere. We didn't care, you know? We ran around trying to get into fights and being stupid, you know? But I had a dream, and it was like, I don't know if it's the right word, an epiphany or whatever that word is.
Epiphany, yeah.
It just dawned on us of what we should be doing. And I'm telling you right now, like, my brother has always role-played, like, Dungeons and Dragons and all of that kind of stuff. I never was into any of that. But somehow, this idea came to me about the 6 Joker cards in a dream. And when I woke up, of course, it was all fuzzy. But I tried to clear it all up in my mind, and the idea ended up being crystal clear. 6 Joker cards until the end of time. The last Joker card means the end of time will consume us all. So we wanted to speak in a language that the streets will listen to, but will say something positive and will tell everybody that the truth will be revealed on the sixth Joker's card. So every 2 years or 3 years, we released another Joker's card. More and more people started wanting to know what's going to be the sixth, what's going to be the sixth. And the other thing was, on all of our albums, we always throw the number 17 around. Mm-hmm. We mentioned 17 all the time. People would always say, what's up with 17? And we would say, on track number 17 of the sixth Joker's card, all will be revealed.
And everybody was just that's exactly like, how it went down.
And that's exactly how it went down. I remember telling my mom this in 1993, trying to explain to her why our lyrics are so vulgar, yet at the end, it's going to be beautiful. And sure enough, years went by. We released the sixth Joker card. It was monumental in the Juggalo world. And on track 17, that's where we said basically, more or less, we said the carnival is God, you know? Mm-hmm. And
we're not sorry if we tricked you. You know, we're not sorry.
And we want to see all Juggalos in Shangri-La. I mean, if you had your entire fan base waiting for you to say something.
To me, this is amazing. Creatively, this is so, sorry to cut you off, but creatively, this is so amazing because these albums, these six Joker cards, have spanned how long? 1992
14 years.
And then people get to the end of the story.
Yeah.
And they get this big reveal
They're
at the
waiting
end.
Waiting for what we're going to say. You got everybody's ear, the whole, your whole people that have supported you, they love you, they've given us our career come true. Thank you to these human beings, these wonderful people. And they all want to know what you have to say. What are you going to say? Of course you're going to say, man, this is all about God. And let's all keep the party going in heaven, man. Let's get it together before we die so we can be together in Shangri-La. Like, listen to the messages of the six.
What was it, really quickly, Shaggy, what was the response at that point? That's a huge moment for all your fans. What was the response?
It was pretty
like?
Crazy, man. All of a sudden, people thought we were like a Christian group. You know what I'm saying? A lot of that came our way. A lot of people didn't like it. You know what I'm saying? But more people did like it than didn't like it. You know, it spoke to a lot of people, you know. Mm-hmm. Some people kind of wrote it off. It is, you know, whatever, man. I feel ripped off. But it's right there in the lyrics. We're not sorry if we tricked you. You know what I'm saying? Because if you feel tricked by that, we ain't sorry about that. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, how could you not dig that? You know what I'm saying? That's what we're wondering. It's like
the positive, the whole full message, yeah.
When you're 24 and you hear the sixth Joker card, you might not dig that. You might be like, how corny, how stale. But fast forward 20 years in your life when you're 44 and you've got three daughters, you might feel a little bit different about that last Joker card and what we said. You know, it's a message for life forever, you know, not just for you
at
that
hot summer.
So then tell me this quickly, Jay. So how does the violence on these albums and all those things play into this concept that is ultimately positive?
Because it gets your attention. You can't just go on there and preach to everybody. You got to speak their language. You got to show them you're one of them. You got to, it's not that we're not, that all we care about, and like we said, we love to entertain. We are one of them. It's real. But at the end of the day, you know, like we want to pull everybody in for a hug, you know, at the end of the day and say thank you for supporting us. And if you've got our logos tattooed all over your body, I just want to say, man, you know, live a righteous life because we believe in an afterlife and we want to see you there.
So all your fans have been following this entire story, you know, even up to today. But to the mainstream, you're most well known for the song Miracles. And you've talked about that song being about your childlike wonder, you know, at the natural world. But again, you know, many critics picked at the kind of sincerity of that song. Shaggy, what do you think critics are missing when they attack that song?
I think critics are failed musicians that like to pick at stuff because they're player haters to the fullest because they never made it in the world of music. So they got to sit back in their office and just pick apart everything that is successful. You know what I'm saying? Because they're salty at the world because they never made it in music. That's what I think about it.
Yeah.
Jay, what do you think they're missing in that song?
Easy. They're missing the beauty of the innocence. That's legit. We really are that stupid. I don't know how magnets work. You know what I'm saying? I was playing with my son. You know what I'm saying? My six-year-old son, watching him freak out over some magnets. You know what I mean? And if you look at the world in a positive way, and you look at pet cats and dogs and all the things we consider miracles, I think it's a beautiful song. Mm. I think there's a lot of people like me that don't know how magnets work. And even if we do know how magnets work, they're still amazing. You know what I mean? All of it. All the lyrics are real. There's a lot of people like us that look at things for what they are, a miracle, you know? The mountains, the clouds, the sky, you know, everything is a miracle. We're blessed. This is like a giant playground, and we're given freedom to do whatever we want with our life. You know, people walk around, my life sucks. Change it. Like, we're given this opportunity to live this life in this great place. You know, if you like it hot, go somewhere hot.
That's like one of my favorite quotes I ever read, this autobiography Tolstoy wrote. He was talking about how for so long he was like, life sucks, life sucks. Then he realized, no, my life sucks. I need to change it.
Change
it. No question, yeah.
I want to ask, before we wrap up, about the bond between the two of you. I'll start with you, Shaggy. You know, years together making this music, climbing up this mountain. How has your relationship changed over the years, or has it changed at
Man,
all?
It hasn't changed. You know what I'm saying? We might see, like, outside of work a little bit less, you know what I'm saying? Because we got families that we take care of and stuff now, you know, just like anybody that you're down with when you're a teenager, you know, you see less than when you get older. But we're in the studio so much, and we're psychopathic 5-6 days a week that we don't not see each other any less. You know what I'm saying? It's like 8-9 hours a day we're with each other, you know? Mm-hmm. And it just comes down to, like, brothers, you know what I'm saying? It's like, not blood brothers, but brothers nonetheless. You know, blood I've known brothers. This guy since
that's,
I was...
That's my little brother.
Right, no doubt. You know what I'm saying? And I've known him since I was 10 years old. You know what I'm saying? I'm 42 right now. I'm about to be 42. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, we think the same. We got the same brain. You know what I'm saying? We like the same stuff. You know what I'm saying? When you got a band with like 6 different personalities clashing, of course, members are going to drop out and you're going to break up. We got 2 dudes that grew up together loving the same stuff, into the same stuff.
That's not just, you know, my brother. That's my boy. That's my homie. And once again, we're so blessed.
No doubt, man.
Because so many people hate each other. And we love each other, for real.
What's it like being on stage with, and you look, you know, on the stage with you is this guy that you...
What do I do every night to your ass on stage?
I get slapped and molested and grabbed, man.
I goose his ass. We goose each other's ass. We have fun. We talk to each other in the back. If it's packed and it looks amazing, we're in the back of the stage. Look at this, man. This is awesome.
This is crazy,
you know?
Man. What's up?
Just like anybody would be, man. We're not on that other side. We're real people, you know? Real people. We are the people buying our music. We are them, for real. We're not, you know, we're not those kind of people that are just, stars are up in the sky, man. Ice Cube said it best. Stars are in the sky, man. Real people are right here, you know what I mean?
Yep.
I think that's a fitting note to end on. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you, man.
Thank you. Thank you for talking to us. Thank you for caring, brother. Thank
you. Gladly.